And it's funny with your parents. I think most of you, with most of us, is probably the same. Even with some friends, sometimes it's like some people, months go by, and one day you get together again, and it's like the previous time you saw them was yesterday. It's like there's no gap, if you know what I mean. So when I was in Piketberg now, we've been here for 5 months now, and when I went back, it was really just a privilege for me to be able to get to my parents and to see them. And you know that whole feeling of home, that place where you feel occupied, you know, that it's good to be home. Now, why I'm sharing this is because there's quite a big difference between a house and a home. Because a house basically is that kind of place where it's a building, but it's a place where maybe where you eat, where you sleep. But that doesn't mean that it's a home. The place about a home is a place where I think when we go there, it's you feel you belong here. You know, you appreciate it there. You know, it's like you matters. It's a place where it's good to be there. And always when you walk in there, it's like you've got that feeling that you can't really explain to someone, like, I'm home. That's what a home is. And I think in the end of the day, it's a place where you know this is where I belong. So the funny thing is, I think even businesses and shops, they caught onto this thing that we like to go to a place where we feel at home. So with some businesses, some coffee shops and restaurants and so on, what they did is they started to change the shop so that when you walk in, that it must remind you of home, that you must feel at home there. I remember I was at a stage, I was a state agent, and one of the things we were taught is if you ever have a show house where people are going to come and have a look at the house to decide if they want to buy it, some of the tips they gave us is make sure there's someone in the kitchen baking cookies. And no one's going to buy the house because of the cookies. But the thing is, for a lot of us, it reminds you to your parents' house. And just in your mind of thinking back of your parents' house, you walked into this house, and you're thinking back of your parents' house, so you kind of feel at home. And that helps sometimes to get the deal through. So you see what I mean? It's you see a lot of places, in business and everywhere, we see this thing of making it home, not only a house. Now, why am I talking about this? It's because it's the same with church. It's exactly the same with church. I think a question we need to ask ourselves this morning is, the people around us, do they feel at home here? And if they don't, or if we answer that question, we say, okay, I think some of them do. Or maybe we say, no, people don't feel at home here. What can we do to change that? And this is not a practical lesson of growing a church. This is actually scriptural to make people feel at home and to make people part of what is going on. And I'll show it as we carry on. But the main thing about that, if we think about it, we think, okay, so what we're supposed to do, maybe when new people come to church, are we supposed to give them a big smile? Welcome, welcome, and everyone clap hands and that kind of things. Is that what we do to make people feel at home? And my answer is no. You see, to make people feel at home is actually, it goes more or further than just on Sundays. To make people feel at home is not a place of how friendly we are on a Sunday. It's actually that place of opening up your life for people. So it's not only about Sundays. Because so often, if we do this thing where on Sundays, we just want to be over-friendly with people to make them feel welcome. But we don't invite them into our homes during the week. Then it's religious. See, God is calling us to a place where He wants us to open up our lives to the people around us. To allow the people around us to come in. I mean, if I look at Jesus in the Bible and the things that He did, what I see is that so often He ate with people. Because there's really something special about eating with people, getting together, eating together. There's really something special about it. So the first scripture I want to read is in John 21 from verse 9. You can open your Bibles there. John 21 from verse 9. I'm only going to read up to verse 12. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who you are?" They knew it was the Lord. Now you listen to the scripture and you're asking yourself, okay, but what's the scripture really saying? The scripture is showing us a setting of someone receiving other people. Because what you see here, if you look at the scripture, is you got these guys through the night, they've been fishing. They've been out fishing. So probably by this time, it's morning, they're coming out from the sea, they're tired, they're coming out from the sea, and as they come out, here's the beach. And Jesus is sitting on the beach. He's got a fire going, coals is ready, the bread is on the coals, so got some fish on there. So he prepared a breakfast for them. So they walk into this setting of Jesus on the beach with the fire and everything, waiting for them. He prepared a meal for them. He's there to serve them. How will that make you feel? You've been working through the night. The next morning, on the beach, breakfast prepared, you being invited to come and sit and enjoy a meal. You understand what I'm trying to say here? Is that if we look at this, we see Jesus, the example of Jesus, of how he prepared himself and how he prepared everything around him to receive people. But also if you look at the scripture, what you can see is he acknowledges them. He's looking at the current needs and he chooses to serve them. Because for him at that stage, it's not about what he wants or what's going on in his life or anything like that. It's about these guys that work through the night, that must be hungry and everything. He's looking at their needs and he chooses to serve them. Now, the only way we can really make other people feel special is basically to acknowledge them and to respect them. But it's also, if you think about it, it's about putting their needs before ours. And I think so often the mistake we make is we put our own needs first. We don't put other people's needs in front of ours. But if you think about putting the needs of other people in front of ours, that's actually what it's all about if we say we're a follower of Christ. Because what Jesus did is he put our needs in front of these. That's why he died on the cross. Because he wanted to change the relationship between us and between the Father. Another scripture I want to read is Galatians 5, verse 13 and 14. "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So the whole law is put into that, is where he say that you will love your neighbor as yourself. And another verse is John 13:35. "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So what we can see is it's all about love. And what I'm sharing with you this morning is, it's quite simple. It's a basic message of what it means to be a follower of Christ. There's a lot of things we can talk about, but at the end of the day, if love isn't visible between us, then we're missing it. If we think about love, if we think about the scriptures and the love that we see here, what we can see is God expects us to show the love that we've got for him, to show that to other people. So we need to express our love. Now, this kind of love, if you think about it, if I may use this word, it's not plastic. It's not the kind of love where you put a smile on your face and you greet everyone or hug everyone. And now you say, okay, but now I'm sharing love. No, this kind of love comes from somewhere else. It comes from your heart. So that is the kind of love we don't give someone because we expect something back from them. It's the kind of love that's not expected from us. We love people because that's what we want to do. If you think about the Father, the price that He paid for each of us, He gave His only Son. He paid that price for me and for you to be able to have a relationship with Him. So with that in mind, if we love the people around us, it's basically having a love that's coming from a place of being thankful for what He has already done to us. And what I said earlier as well is, one time, I remember someone asked me, but you know, if I love God, so often we say I love God, but how do I know if I really love God? Is there a way that, for instance, between me and my wife, the love that's there, it's a love that I can show and she can experience it from the other side. But how does it work with God? If we say we really love God, how do we show it? And the answer to that simply is we show that love to each other. That's what we do. Because you see, by sharing the love of God with other people, the love of Christ with other people, He gets glorified. And therefore, it's so important for us to be able to get into that place where we share that love with other people. Now, the thing is also, I think if we can only try to love other people as much as God loves us, we'll never be able to get to that point the same way that He loves us. But we can try to do that. We can try to get closer to people and to share that love with them. If we think about being part of a church, the interesting thing about that is, I think so often what we think is, if we think about church and you ask people, why do you go to church? And then we'll take out these things where we say, okay, but I need this, and because I this, and because I that. But if you think about church, it's actually not about the individual. It's actually about a group of people. And why I'm saying this is, I think so often we miss it a little bit if it gets to this point. Because you see, church is all about God. Church is all about the lost out there that needs to be saved. And it's all about His bride. Now, the other thing about that is, yes, me and you are part of that. Because in the first place, like I said, it's all about God, but you are His creation. You are created with a purpose. And through His church, He will raise you up to fulfill your purpose. The second thing is he wants to use you to reach the lost. So like we said, it's about the lost, but He wants to use you to reach those people. And the third thing is you are part of the bride of Christ if you choose to follow Him. So although we all are individuals, and although church is about a bigger group, it's true that one day each of us will stand before God. A day and a time will come that we will stand before Him. But if we can grow to that point where we say, but it's not only about me, it's about so much more than just me, then Christ will really be glorified through our lives. And a scripture I want to show you, you can open your Bibles there, it's at Matthew 6 from verse 9. Matthew 6 from verse 9 is the Lord's Prayer. It's a prayer I think all of us know, but it's something I want you to notice in this. I'm only going to read verse 9 to 13. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, we all know this scripture. The interesting we need to notice in this, if we look at this, it says, our Father, not my Father. It says, give us, not me. It says, forgive us, not forgive me. Lead us not. Deliver us. He's talking in a group context. And each of us, each of you, are special to God. You know, God has got a plan with you and with your life. But He's calling us to be more than just individuals. He's calling us to a place where we can all connect with each other and get into that place where we can say, it's not about me, it's about us. It's about God and where He want to lead us. It's what He want to do with us, what He want to use us for, not only about me. Now, the thing about this is it talks about unity. But you see, the strength in unity comes only when we get to that place where we really connect with each other. Because I think so often we think, but if we're all together here in a building and we're not fighting with each other, anything like that, then there's unity. But unity is so much more than just that. Unity is that place where our hearts really connect. A scripture I want to read to show you just the power of unity is in Genesis 11 from verse 1 to 6. And this scripture is about the Tower of Babel. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing that that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Now, if we look at this scripture, it's like you're picking up the excitement there is between them, where they say, come, let's do this. Come, let's do that. So you're picking up that excitement, but you're also picking up that unity of people walking together, people agreeing of what they want to do, where they want to go. And if you think about it, and if you read the scripture, you could see that this tower that they built was really something. And especially for that time. But it was because of the unity. And the thing that shows us the unity or the power of unity is verse 6, where God says, and nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. You see, that is the strength of unity. Is if people really walk in unity, nothing will be impossible for them. So I want to ask you to just imagine for a second the church really united. Think about what a church like that can do for the kingdom of God. Think about what a church like that can do against the kingdom of Satan. The words of Reinhard Bonnke comes to mind. He said, I will plunder hell and populate heaven for Jesus' sake. But you see, that can only happen if we get to a place of unity. We can, as a church, we can only walk into that place of really glorifying Christ if we can get into a place like unity, with that kind of unity. But to get to a place like that, we need to die in ourselves. Because you see, so often, I think with most of us, the problem we've got is we always ask the question, yeah, but what about me? We look at other people, things going on in their lives, and what we do is we compare that to what's going on in our own lives. Instead of just listening, instead of just giving love. And God, I really believe that God is calling us to a place of becoming a family, where He wants to join us together, where we are really connected in our hearts. And it's not a Sunday thing. Not a thing of on Sunday we come and we greet everyone, we're friendly and we give hugs and all that kind of stuff. But a place where we open up our lives to each other. Invite each other into our lives. Because you see, the moment we start to do that, real love will become visible. And this is maybe the most simplest message you can have out of the Bible. But that's what it's all about. It's about love. If we think about Jesus, what he did for me and you on the cross, it was love. If we think about the Ten Commandments, those kind of things, what he says, you can put it all together in love, in one word, in love. And like I said, I really believe that God is calling us to that place. So the thing is, this kind of unity begins by receiving others, by putting the needs of other people first, and by letting people feel special, letting them feel worthy, by letting other people feel home, at home. So this morning, I basically just want to invite each of you to think about this. Because you see, so often we can take scripture and we can make it very complicated about what the Word of God says. And, you know, there's a lot of times when we read scripture, then we get to that place where, I know some of the sermons at Convergence even, some of the people walked out and they said, but it's just way over there. Now, this morning is not something like that. It's a basically calling for love. And what I want to do is I want to invite you during this week and when you spend time with God to really ask you to really ask him to help you to look at your heart, to look at the way that you receive people. When people come to you, not to think, what can I get out of this? What's this going to mean for me? Because you see, that kind of love is sacrificial. And why I say that is so often people come to us with needs in times that it's not suitable for us. But then God expects us to lay down what we're busy with, to open ourselves up, and to listen to other people. So when you go out this week, and like I said, not only make it a Sunday thing, start to invite other people to your house, to invite other people in to your heart. Get to a place where you are willing to share with other people also what's going on in your life. And like with the church bride that's now off the church, people can still register. People can still register. So I really want to invite you to go and share the day with the rest of us. Because I think a lot of times in church, we can maybe put ourselves one side. And then we get to that place where we say, but I don't feel part of church. I remember in Malmesbury, for instance, she's laughing already. But in Malmesbury, for instance, when we were still there, I wasn't a pastor back then. But what happened is, we had church on a Sunday, and after church, I never stayed for coffee. And she always said, but can we stay today? And I said, no, we've got coffee at home. So why you want to stay for coffee? But I had to get to a place where I realized, but I'm not opening my heart up to, I don't open my heart for other people. I don't allow other people to come close to me. And living a lifestyle like that, at the end of the day, you get to a place where you say, but I don't feel I belong. I don't feel that I'm part of it. That, to me, isn't home. And for me, it wasn't. No one else was to blame. It was myself. Because I put myself one side. So there's two sides of this kind of conversation. So on the one side, maybe you this morning, you say, but you see, I've been coming here for a couple of months now, but I don't feel part of it. Then I want to invite you to, almost want to say, step over the line. To go to that place where you're scared to go. To start and join a cell group. When there's coffee afterwards, there's always coffee afterwards. Join us for coffee. Don't just run when we say amen. If we do things like next week Saturday, join us with that. And then on the other side of that, like I said, for the rest of us, if you're at the place where you say, but to you, this is really home, then open up your heart so that the rest of the people around you can experience that home and that love. Can we close our eyes, please? Thank you, Father, that we can be in your house this morning. Thank you, Father, that we can know that this house belongs to you. Father, I just want to ask you this morning that for each of us, that you will really change our hearts, allow us to get it to a place or where we will allow you, Father, to change our hearts so that we can get to a place where we will share your love with other people. And not in a religion sense, Father, but really open up our lives and open up our hearts to share with other people, to be there for other people, to listen to other people, to be available to other people. Father, you say in your word that this is how your disciples will be known. It's through the love that they've got for each other. Father, I really believe that there's a harvest coming out there. But the thing bothering me, Father, is I'm not sure if the church is ready to receive them. So therefore, Father, we want to ask you to change our hearts and make us more than Jesus, to be more like Jesus, so that we can be able to receive other people. In Jesus' name, amen.